The blessed month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. The barakat, the mercies. People are assembled. We are assembled together to get these, to attain these. Ramadan Mubarak. All of the things of Ramadan Mubarak are there so that we do not spend any time in negligence and laziness. Every moment of Ramadan is precious and valuable, because in this Allah Ta'ala hasn't just for ibadah, worship, given us this time, because ibadah we do all year long, worship we do all year long. But really, Ramadan's value is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this month, through this month, all our deen, our complete deen, Allah wants to refresh it. In reality, the reality and what's visible are two things. There are two parts to everything. One is the reality and what is, and second is what is you can see, what's apparent. So the situation here is this as well. Just like you have like the shell, the external. So a person, he has a physical appearance, and one is the reality. Our physical appearance is what's in front of us, what's apparent. And the reality of that person is his ruh, is within. The soul. The human being, he does actions that he emphasizes more on physical and exterior and appearance, focuses more on appearance and image. Whatever you look at, it's more on the image, and there's less focus and attention towards the reality, the root. Just like your body, you're concerned more about body, and You look at your body, the physical appearance, and we look after the body, we pay attention to the body, to improve the body, to make it nicer. But the ruh, the soul, very few focus on that, which is the reality of that person. Dahir, the external, always will slowly disappear. The body will disappear. It doesn't matter how much good, nice you make the body, but one day the people will throw the soil on top of the body, and then nobody will ask after that, where's the body gone? The insects have consumed it, the soil is consumed. But the reality of that individual, his ruh, his soul, even after dying, the soul, the ruh, is alive the same way, and it continues till the hereafter, forever. So the Quran gives us also, there's a reality of the Quran, there's the dahir, the external, there's a reality of the salah, also there's a physical appearance of the salah, and there's a reality in ibadat, all of the same. And Ramadan also has a dahir, an external image, and then there's the reality of Ramadan. So dahir of Ramadan is that we're fasting, and we're praying salah, we're praying taraweeh, we're worshipping. One is this dahiri emotion and physical practice which is attached to us. But the reality of Ramadan is there also, fasting. And the reality of fasting of Ramadan, that Allah has mentioned Himself, the reality, the essence of Ramadan is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make us the muttaqi. Muttaqi. So why does Allah want us to become a muttaqi? Allah wants to make us a muttaqi for this reason, as I've mentioned before, because our objective of coming is taqwa. Our objective of coming to this world is taqwa. We forget our objective, we have forgotten it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this, due to the blessings of Ramadan, Allah puts us back on track so that we follow our maqsad, objective. But it's sad to say that even then, after coming into Ramadan, we don't follow the track come on to the top. We just think we fasted and we have completed our obligation. We have fulfilled the worship actions and we have attained Ramadan, we think. But in reality, this is not the case. The reality of Ramadan is something else. And the reality of Ramadan is that we need to attain that thing for which purpose Ramadan was given to us. Allah Ta'ala has given us Ramadan so that we can become muttaqi, so we can attain taqwa. Allah says, this is your maqam, this is your status. In the hereafter, your status will be due to taqwa. Due to, after you become a muttaqi and you attain taqwa. So what is a muttaqi? A muttaqi is a person who has got taqwa, who has attained taqwa. So whoever attains taqwa is a muttaqi. And the meaning of taqwa is this, that whatever ahkams of Allah there are, he implements them. He practices them. Whatever instructions Allah has given to us, whatever he's told us to do, a person's regular on that, punctual on that, consistent on that, practicing that, and for that purpose he's trying hard, he's making an effort. So that person is termed a muttaqi, alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Because he wants to attain taqwa, he wants to become a muttaqi. That's the situation. That's the situation. So this is the point, this is the whole subject, you could say, the whole purpose, that we need to become a muttaqi. I need to become a muttaqi. We all need to become muttaqis. And a muttaqi is a person who fulfills all of Allah's ahkams, orders, instructions. Then, the next thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has helped us with Ramadan. And in Ramadan, he made this apparent and he explained this. People of wisdom, for them to understand that this thing, to get taqwa, the thing that stops you from taqwa, what is that? That is your nafs, your desires. Your desires stop you from attaining taqwa. The things you want to do, your wants, your ego, shahawat, the lust. And these stop you from becoming a muttaqi. When you make an intention that I want to become a muttaqi and attain taqwa, then what is it that makes a barrier in front of you, restricts you, it's a hurdle? That is nafs. Nafs, shahawat. Passions, desires, lust, ego. Do you understand? So what was it? That we, in this life, we need to become muttaqis. We need to live our life as a muttaqi. But to become a muttaqi, the situation is this. That we, all those amal, actions that Allah has ordered, we need to practice them. And to practice the orders of Allah, the hurdles that are coming in front of us, the barrier, they are the nafs, our desires, and we need to oppose our nafs, and we need to attain our destination. Okay? Understood? So now, if such a simple scenario, that all of the ahkams Allah has given to us, all of Allah's orders, instructions, there's mu'amalat, your life in society, in mu'ashara, your personal affairs, not just ibadah, worship, akhlaq, conduct, manners, ibadat, society, meeting others, how to conduct yourself. These are all Allah's ahkams. And we know is how to pray salah, how to pray namaz. We don't know anything further than that. Despite that, the whole deen is a complete subject. Akhlaq is deen, your personal affairs is deen, if person prays salah, but his mu'amalat, his relationships with other people are wrong, his meeting with people are wrong, he's not given the rights to people, then he's a waste. In the hereafter, is Jahannam is for that person. So to be a muttaqi, to be a person who's a muttaqi, not just worship, but all of the subjects and the factors of the deen, whether it's your personal affairs, society, your ibadat, worship, or your akhlaq, your conduct, your manners, or societal issues, all of these, in all of these, you have to obey Allah's orders. Okay? All of these, we have to obey Allah's orders and instructions. In all factors of life, our house, our family life, our home, we have to do the same way. With the neighbors, we have to do correctly. Our personal issues, we have to do correctly. Business affairs correctly. Running, doing work extra. All of our life affairs within them, all of them should have the reflection that they are in accordance to Allah's orders, ahkams. Fis-silmi kaffah. Enter into Islam wholeheartedly, completely. So what do we do? Is that a person who's praying Salah, oh, he's a pious person, he's religious, oh, he's going Hajj after Hajj, he's pious. This is an external physical ibadah. We think this is the whole of our deen. Worship, Allah's ordered us to do worship. There are five things in Islam. Recite the Shahada Kalima, pray Salah, namaz, to keep the fasts, to give zakah, and to perform the Hajj. These are all ibadat, aren't they? And that's all we know. And that's not, we don't even complete that. Yes, we say Allah, the rest of it we don't do, we say Allah will forgive us. Allah will forgive us. So all the other factors of life, for this reason, regularly people complain that I pray Salah, I'm not at peace, I've got no blessings, I do wazifas, I've done this and that, and this is not correct for me, I've done Umrah as well, and this is not succeeding for me, I've been to Hajj, I'm not succeeding, I do wazif, I pray, I recite. The reason is that the other four things, have you looked at those in your life, the other sectors of Islam, that what are you doing in those? Have you ever looked that with your mother, what's your relationship? With your father, what's your relationship? With your brothers and sisters, what's your relationship, connection? If you are in the business, then in your business, what's your connection with other people? In your giving and taking, how is that? Your business, how is it performing? How do you perform it? How do you run it? Do you understand what I'm saying? So all of these things, to explain this to us, Ramadan has come. We just open the Quran and sit down. Brothers, what we need to see is that we need to improve all our mu'amalat, all of our affairs, life affairs. This is the case, isn't it? We just think, complete 10 recitations of 10 complete Quran, we've got Ramadan. Whoever prays Taraweeh, he's got Ramadan. Despite that fact that Taraweeh, someone's praying 8, someone's 10, someone's 20, someone prays 8 and goes. Somebody says Qiyamul Layl, someone says it's Tahajjud, someone's saying something else. We don't even know this. So that person's going into loss. So there's an easy solution that Ramadan has told us. That Ramadan isn't just come to make us pray Salah, pray Taraweeh, I'm happy, my Salah is correct. Ramadan has come, in reality, has come to correct our whole deen, the whole life. Do you understand what I'm saying? The whole life, the deen has come to improve and correct. And for this, Allah Ta'ala has given us a method. When your whole deen is corrected and improved, then what does that person become? A muttaqi. A muttaqi. But unfortunately, we are lost and we think that just whoever has done a physical worship, he is a muttaqi. Yes, how can this be? How can this be? Rather, a muttaqi is that person that all of his life, mu'amalat, fi silmi kafa, wholeheartedly he comes and he does the right practice in his life. With the wife, he fulfills the rights of the children he gives, mother's rights is given, father's rights is given, neighbor's rights is given, his business is correct, customers are okay for him. And if he does a job, he's an employee, then his relationships at work, whatever he's doing, wherever he's working, in the masjid, outside, at the shop, and the business place, then the mulazims, his employees, the boss, and in addition, he has a good relationship with the employees. This is Islam. This is Islam. Yes, this is Islam. When a person practices this Islam, then speak about paradise. Then think about the palaces and the mansions, not just one ibadah you do and you'll get the mansions through ibadah. You understand what I'm saying? So Ramadan has come to teach us this very thing, that all your mu'amalat are correct. Then, you know, all of our topics, they're scattered around. Oh, it's very difficult now. I'm not improving my salah. How will I improve this? How will I improve my akhlaq, my conduct? Oh, these are big things to achieve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I want to make you muttaqi, then all of the things I've given the solution in one thing. Just one thing I've given the solution for all. That the thing that in Ramadan I'm making you do, in reality, the whole of your deen is being corrected. It's not just ibadah that the whole deen is to correct the whole deen, not just the worship. So now, the question is here, that not just worship, but our whole deen, when it's improved, then we'll be muttaqi, and then we'll say, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that in Ramadan, you will depart after Ramadan, after the end, after attaining taqwa and after becoming a muttaqi. Then Allah will say that you have valued and appreciated my Ramadan and you really did practice Ramadan correctly. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So now the point is, brothers, what have we been told in Ramadan? That for taqwa, the biggest thing that stops us, so then when taqwa comes, then understand what does taqwa mean. What is the definition of taqwa? The whole of Islam to practice it. Yes, whenever you say the word taqwa, not just salah, fasting, hajj, zakah. This is one part. This one part. When we say we need to become muttaqi, immediately in your heart, your mind, you should be thinking that the whole of Islam is being spoken about here. All the factors, the parts, the sectors of Islam, all of them are being mentioned, not just one thing. In our mind, just one thing has been installed. That when Allah speaks about becoming a muttaqi and about taqwa, we think that it's just worship, but totally wherever Allah Ta'ala's orders are, Allah says you have to live your life according to my orders and instructions. So in all these places, the thing that stops us from becoming a muttaqi, it makes us do one thing, leave the other thing, leave the second thing, do the third thing. What is it that's heading this, that Allah Ta'ala has made upon Ramadan? Is the shahawat, the desires, the ego. Allah's grabbed hold of the root. Just like I said yesterday, Allah's grabbed hold of the root cause. So if we control our shahawat, then we will become muttaqi. If we control the ego, the desires will become muttaqi. That's the message. Do you understand what I'm saying? So for this fikr and concern, Ramadan is here, that if you control your desires, then what will you become? Muttaqi. Muttaqi. And you will be a person who's completely practicing Islam. Not just that you're praying salah, rather you'll have a great akhlaq, you will own a great conduct, and you'll be practicing good conduct and manners, and in society you'll be living in a nice way, you'll have justice in a good way. And all of this, what destroys all of these things? Is the shahawat. Yes, carnal desires. Look, beautiful point I'd like to present to you, inshallah, that three things were created. Voilà. Human beings, the angels, yes, and with the insan is the jinn, angels and the animals. What are they? Three makhluk, creation, three forms of creation. Angels Allah Ta'ala created, Allah gave them two things. One thing Allah gave them akal, but He didn't give them shahwat. Do you understand shahwat? The base desires, the carnal desires, the ego. What did Allah give to the angels? Akal, but no shahwat, no desires, okay? To the animals, Allah Ta'ala created the animals. Allah gave shahwat, lust and desires to the animals, but no akal. Does a cow have akal? Yes, does he understand anything? Does the cow have akal? Does the buffalo have akal, wisdom? Yes, what's in the animals? They don't have akal. They have a little bit, but it's restricted. It's confined. Just according to their understanding. What does that mean? Restricted? That whatever they can do to fulfill their desires, that's the amount of intellect they've got. They'll keep on eating grass and eating grass and eating grass. Their stomach will be filled and will keep on being filled. Yes, because they're full of shahawat and desires. All the animals know is eat and drink and nothing else. So what are they? The animals, full of the desires. And the angels, Allah Ta'ala has given them aql, understanding, wisdom. They recognize Allah. They want to attain ma'rifah and nearness to Allah. They want to attain Allah's irfan, connection with Allah. They have a great aql, great wisdom, but they have no shahwat, no desires. They'll never run after the women. They will never try to fulfill their desires. They're not worried about food. They're not worried about any material thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? The angels, Allah has given akal, no shahwat, no desires, no ego. And if they don't have ego, desires, they became the angels. Subhanallah. Now listen to the point here. To the animals, Allah gave shahwat, desires, but no akal, no understanding. So what did they become? They became the animals. Insan, the human being, what did Allah do? To the insan, Allah gave him shahwat and akal. Allah gave him wisdom, understanding and desires. MashaAllah. Do you understand this? You understand? So this point came in between. So what's the case now? We are not included amongst the angels nor amongst the animals because we have akal and we have shahwat, desires. So in between, Allah says, now you need to become a muttaqi. Subhanallah. Do you understand my point? Yes. So what did Allah say? خلق الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. You need to become a muttaqi now. Subhanallah. So now, do you want to become a muttaqi? So what a great achievement. What a great achievement. What did we do? So if you control your desires, your ego, your lust, your passions, if you extract that, then where do you arrive to? The malaika level. You arrive to the angelic level because they don't have shahwat. They don't have desires. So if we increase the shahwat, lust and desires, and we become slaves of our desires, then we'll become the animals. So everything, we have to make a decision in our life that our decisions are based on shahwat and carnal desires, base desires. Whoever controls, suppresses, crushes his desires, controls them, then where does he arrive to? He arrives to the maqam of the angels. The level of the angels. You get the daraja of the malaika. Yes? So we say the wali Allah does this, the wali Allah does. That's the reason. Because they have controlled their shahawat, so their attributes are connected to the malaika. And those people who have increased their shahawat, increased their desires, strengthened their desires, they are just one action. Eating, drinking, sleeping, making money, wealth, consuming wealth, lying, saying the truth. They don't know anything else alongside with them because they are full of the shahawat, the desires. So with ease you can now measure, engage now when the shahwat desires increase, then they'll become what? The Quran has said they'll be worse than the animals. They'll be worse than the animals the human being becomes. If murdering is a minor thing because an animal kills another animal. So the meaning is this, the same. The meaning of animal is just one. To fulfill one's desires equals an animal. A person's an animal. Yes, and he just is running after all of his objectives and desires. So we need to see and ask ourselves, where are we? Where is our society going? Have you seen Ramadan? So what does Ramadan do? It came and it, with regards to the desires, it eliminates them so that our aruj can arrive to the malaika level, angelic level. When a person in Ramadan, the example Allah gave of this, subhanAllah. Allah gave an example in Ramadan. How the Allah Ta'ala Himself, He has assisted us, helped us with regards to our desires. For this Allah has given us fast, the fast. You understand? For this, physically Allah gave the physical fast. Why did Allah give us the fast? Because Allah Ta'ala wants to grab hold of, control our desires, to explain that I want you to make you a muttaqi. If you want to be a muttaqi, then the rest of your life, just like in Ramadan, control your desires. Just like you suppressed and controlled your desires in Ramadan, do that the rest of your life. So today in Ramadan, I've allowed you, enabled you to control your desires via the fast. So tomorrow you have to work hard yourself, Allah says. And you have to understand that what I'm doing, where I'm doing wrong, where I'm making mistake, and my desires are on a high level, then immediately you need to bring that down, say, no, I need to stop this. And then live your life in the right way, that I have got worldly desires within me. I've started the work of the animals, eating, drinking, wife, children are born, getting married after one, after that two, after that three, after that four. This is not the case. This is the work of the animals I'm doing. Really, my shahwat has increased. Immediately I need to control myself to eliminate the shahwat, the lust and the desires, and a person becomes tender and soft. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Allah Ta'ala for this has given us a solution, mashallah. The shahwat, your desires, your ego, how can you control this? How can you control this? Yes, Allah has given us the tariqah, the method. So all our life we need to utilize this tariqah, this method. What has Allah Ta'ala given to us? The fast. Okay? And what is our action during the fast? Main action during the fast is what? Salah, etc. We do that regularly anyway. Yes. What's the main action in the fast? Pray Taraweeh. Yes. And in Taraweeh, there's an argument. Nobody knows how much to read, where to read, at home, in the Jama'ah, in the congregation. Nobody knows. The real essence is what? That Allah has given us the fast. For which reason? That your desires, your ego, you need to understand how to lower the desires, control the desires. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So now you look. Why has Allah given us the fast? Physical fast? This is a class today. Allah has given us fast so that we can learn how to control our desires during the fast. So what's the special quality in a fast? What's the special quality? Think. The special thing in the fast, through that we can control our desires. In the fast, Allah has put a special quality, which is thirst and hunger. Thirst and hunger are developed. So Allah is explaining here that if you want to control your desires, then the main thing is this, is that you, your hunger and thirst, you pay attention towards that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So now, the next statement I'm giving to you, the essence, that the biggest resource with regards to desires and shahwat, the, you can say the center focal point, is what? Is the stomach, the source, the root, the fountain of the, is the stomach. So for this reason, Allah Ta'ala first controlled the stomach. That your stomach, you know, this is where the desires and the ego of a person originates, arises from, initiates. So on the day of resurrection, most of all the people, the nation, the people that will have the highest maqam, the highest level, the highest status on the day of resurrection, who will those people be? Be those people, in the hadith it is stated, will be those people who control their hunger and their thirst. Yes, their hunger and their thirst, they paid attention to that. They controlled it. They had regard for it. Now listen carefully to what I'm saying. The hunger and the thirst, whoever controlled it, then he will have the highest maqam. Why? Because the meaning of hunger and thirst is that he controlled his desires via the hunger and the thirst. Controlled his desires and his ego. He will be on the high maqam on the day of Hashr, those women and men, sisters and brothers. So the biggest restriction that for us, the markaz, the fountain that origin makes the disobedience arise, is the stomach. The stomach. Hazrat Abul Hasan Ghazi rahmatullahi, what a great personality. And after 2 years, he saw his father. And that the tarkur, you understand, that you put on the roads in the hadith, it says there will be a labas in Jahannam that will be put on the people of Jahannam. May Allah forgive and protect us from this. One labas will be the labas of tarkur, which is very hot, that, you know, like tarmac that's laid onto the pavements and roads. The people of Jahannam, they will wear that libas, that attire, like hot as the tarmac. That there will be the libas, the dress, fire upon fire. And he said, I saw my father, he was wearing the libas. He said, Abajan, my father, this libas, this attire that you're wearing the libas of Jahannam. He said, yes, totally correct, my son. This libas, my nafs is responsible for making me wear this libas. If you want to live your life, then always be saved from your nafs. The nafs has taken me to this point, my desires, my ego. This is a great month Allah has given to us, my brothers. This is not a minor thing. The Allah Ta'ala wants to explain to us. The insan is in deception. Successful is that person who has controlled his desires. Yes, the nafs never can be eliminated. If the nafs was eliminated, the game would end then, wouldn't it? So this is a fight, a clash with the nafs until death with the nafs. You have to quarrel and clash and compete with the nafs every second, every moment in your life. That's why Allah Ta'ala has created the enemy that we... So Allah's given the definition of the enemy is who, with whom a person clashes. Or quarrels or dispute, that how many battles, for example, take place 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 15 years, and eventually will finish. But the fight with the desires, the ego, it continues forever. Forever. It runs on forever. One is the physical entities in the world that go on for maybe a few years and then they end. But the fight with the nafs carries on until death. And the person who's negligent, lazy, can never succeed in that clash. Is this the reason why Allah Ta'ala has given us such a great month? Allah has given us this great month for nothing. This is the reality of Ramadan I'm sharing with you. Yes? Normally you hear Ramadan's come, read this many Quran, read this much Taraweeh, give this much sadaqat, do this much charity, do this action, this worship. Everyone tells you this, isn't it? Has anybody ever told you what is the reality of Ramadan? Now Ramadan, what is the message is delivering to you, Ramadan? That is what you should learn. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. That's what we need to learn. That's what we need to implement. Yes, are we just taking shortcuts in Ramadan, wasting the time in Ramadan just by taking shortcuts? So we explain that the ego, the desires, the fountain of that, the foundation of that is the stomach. The stomach, the root of all desires, khwaishat, is they emanate from the stomach. You can see this. How? Allah's given another example. So Allah says, keep the fasting, and then you'll see. Allah says that it's when you're fasting. Imagine it's afternoon, 20 hours long, and that person's kept the fast. It's extremely hot. And if you say to him, come, now let's see the dance of some woman, some girl. He says, forget that. I don't feel like watching this. Okay, let's do that sin then, if you tell that person who's kept that lengthy fast. No desire will there be within that person. Totally suppressed and crushed. Soon as in the evening some food goes into the stomach, then he becomes alive again and strong and vibrant and alert. So what a great solution. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly, physically proven to those people of understanding who have fear of the hereafter. So the real point here is that it's the stomach of a person that creates and develops shahwat and desires. So whoever controls his stomach, alhamdulillah, then on the day of resurrection, he will attain a high rank and status and he will become a muttaqi. Now, stomach, understand the point about stomach. To control the stomach, it means one is the zahir and one is the batin. There are two parts to the stomach. Yes, zahir, the external of the stomach is this, is that we say during fast, stop eating, stop drinking. This is the zahir. This is the physical. So by leaving food and drink, you cannot become the muttaqi. Yes, when you leave food and drink and you start keeping the fast, that's fine, isn't it? By leaving food and drink, you cannot control your desires. You won't become the muttaqi. You won't attain taqwa. The reality, A, is that hunger and thirst, you won't leave that. But what's the reality of the fast is? The reality of the fast is that when your stomach is empty, there's no food or water, that don't consume haram rizq. Don't consume unlawful food or anything. So the hint, the direction here is that when you fast, it's not just about being hungry and thirsty. Control your stomach in such a way that at the time of breaking the fast, if you eat haram, then you've spoiled your fast. If you break the fast with haram, food or earnings, then you've wasted your fast. So the objective of fasting is not to stay hungry and thirsty. The objective of fasting is to protect your stomach from haram and unlawful things. This is the reality of the fast. One is the physical fast. You don't eat, you don't drink, and you break the fast in the evening. We are hungry. We have suppressed the desire. But in the evening when you sit to eat, then you don't know what you've eaten, what you've drank. Just like after dying, that person saw his father, that he passed away. And he saw his father, and he saw that, did he know that during his life that he would have done these actions, that he will go to paradise or will he go to hell and he'll wear the libas of hell? He didn't know when he was living, did he? He was doing all worship, all actions, but his son was shown after his death. And a few people I've seen in the dream as well. Allah Ta'ala showed me this for this reason, that this will be your conclusion if you are not a good person. Yes, they were pious people, good people. They were given titles, he's a wali Allah, he's a friend of Allah, he's a pious person. People used to give them acclaim. In the dunya, they're not present now. Yes, they were good friends, companions. And we also thought good of them. But I saw them in the dream and there was something different. And the reason is this, that Allah Ta'ala to me, He's given me this status as a ni'mah, that I submit myself to Allah's makhluk and I speak to Him. So if I don't know about the affairs, then what will I say to other people? I won't know anything. Yes, if I don't know, then what will I say to people? So Allah Ta'ala, He has shown me such examples. So when I saw them, then in the dream, in my thought, I thought they were in a high maqam, high status with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They used to recite a lot of durood and recite nasheeds. They were lovers of the deen. Guaranteed good people, pious people, must be. And that was their appearance, that was their physical lifestyle as well. Whenever the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's name was mentioned, the tears would come from their eyes. So when I saw them in the dream, then there was a very small room, there were other people sat there, and their stomach was opened up, and their hand was on the stomach trying to suppress it. And I looked attentively, it was the same person. And I went, and he smiled, just smiled, and kept on suppressing his stomach, just like his stomach, something's coming out, trying to push down on it. The azab of the akhirah will be like this, won't they? The punishments of the hereafter. So today I understand that, what I saw. That all of success of a human being is he who saves his stomach. Do you understand this? This is the message of the Ramadan, of fasting. The real, is the objective, that person will be hungry and thirsty. The real hungry and thirsty person, the real genuine hungry and thirsty person, isn't a person who stopped eating bread or physically is thirsty, his lips are dry, he's not eating. The real hungry and thirsty person will be that person who, alhamdulillah, he didn't eat one morsel of haram. One piece of haram. Now understand the hard work we need to do in our life for the rest of the life. Now do you understand the lessons of fasting? Yes. This is the message of Ramadan, the lessons of fasting. Haram, what is haram for a person? When will it be haram and unlawful for a person to eat something? When? Haram, there are two harams. One is, just like I said to you, everything in Islam has two parts, two forms, physical appearance and the reality. So one is a haram thing, the physical haram is of haram. What is the example of physical haram? Is that you can see it's haram. It's haram food or drink, don't eat or drink it. That's the physical appearance, outward. And the genuine haram is what? The essence, the reality of haram is that the boundaries that Allah has made, the boundaries that Allah has set. Yes, have I been strict what I'm saying? So the orders, the instructions of Allah, the hakams of Allah, Allah says if you live your life and earn in the wrong way, then that's haram as well. You don't understand what I'm saying? That's the reality of haram here. Part two. So if your rizq, your earnings you've earned in this way, then what will that be? Then Allah says if it's wrongly earned, then it's haram. Your earnings are haram. Your money is haram. So the boundary, tilka hududullah. Allah says, my boundaries of Sharia, Islamic law. If you earn within that, then you're like, you're a teacher, you're a Molana, or you have a job, you're an employee. All of these are jobs. Or you work in a school, you work in a masjid, or you work in a madrasa, you have another job, you're an employee. How will that be haram, your earnings? Is that if the boundaries, I'm explaining the points to you, if you go beyond the boundary of Sharia, transgress and you earn money, then what does that money become? Haram. And if your money is haram, then what happens? Doesn't matter if Ramadan comes in, if you're fasting, but your nafs, your desires are being spoiled more because your stomach is consuming haram. And your desires, the biggest thing, the first step to crush your desires is you need to correct the stomach. The stomach. Hopefully you understand the points I'm making. So the biggest mujahada, the biggest hard work, the first lesson of Ramadan is what? Is that via the fasting, you need to control your stomach. Hunger, not via hunger and thirst, via halal earnings, lawful earnings. That's lesson number one. Subhanallah. This is what we need to work hard for now and for the rest of our life. For this, the noble companions, the Sahaba, they taught us 5 times salah is enough. If you are fulfilling the salah in this position with the lawful earnings, that not for getting forgiveness, just pray 5 times salah in the right way to get to nearness of Allah, to get the high level on the hashr, the day of resurrection, this is enough. And we hide this and we do sajda upon sajda, worship upon worship, prostration. We hide the essence of Ramadan, that oh stomach, leave it, eat what you want, drink what you want. I remember one of his words, that person who I saw, when I saw his stomach big, I said, oh, He said, I was lazy on this affair. I was lazy with regards to my stomach. He said, we used to say easily in the world, oh, it's no problem. Oh, it's okay, we can eat what we want, earn what we want. No problem, Allah's ni'mas, Allah's treasures, do what you want. People used to say that when they're alive. But what a great lesson. I was shown that a person who was an ashik, a pious person, so called, famous in the world, they used to guarantee his iman. But Allah says, I knew he didn't work hard on the real things. He didn't crush his desires. His ego. And how does the ego and the desires get crushed? Yes, this wilayat, being a wali Allah, is not a minor thing. Earning paradise is not a minor thing. You have to work hard now in the life, then you'll get paradise tomorrow in the hereafter. Today, if we break our fast with halal, then tomorrow we will depart when Ramadan ends as a muttaqi, as Allah, fearing Allah. One date that we're breaking the fast with, this is enough for us to attain taqwa. One date. Do you understand what I'm saying? So first, the thing, the caution that we need to implement to become a muttaqi, to become a person who fears God, to crush the desires. Never obey your desires when it invites you to eat haram, unlawful things. The desires start from this position. Step number one, inviting towards haram. And on this, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us that the desires, you have to work against your desires. You have to clash with your desires. And after the big expedition, the Prophet ﷺ was coming back with his companions. The companions were tired, exhausted, hungry, thirsty after a big expedition. And they, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said that be ready now for the bigger clash, for the bigger fight. And the Sahaba Karam, the noble companions, said, O Prophet of Allah, is there a bigger clash than this? That we've just come back from a physical sacrifices. And the Prophet said, yes, there's a bigger fight than this. This fight that you've just taken place won't take you to paradise until you don't attain victory on the bigger quarrel, the bigger clash. You can't get paradise. And the Quran said, وَجَهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنْهُمْ سُبَلَنَا. This is that clash. This is that fight about which Allah Ta'ala has described it in the Quran. It's not that with the physical person, until you don't fight with your desires, your ego, then Allah will show you the path to His nearness. Only when you crush your desires. Oh, I recite durood sharif, but I've never seen the Prophet in my dream. I recite so much, I pray so much. Please tell me a prayer so I can see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People request this and ask this. I'm a lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People claim this. This is our so-called way of life. Please tell me a prayer or wazifa or worship that I can become pious. People ask this. Yes, please. Oh, I want that my business starts to flourish. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala's orders, Allah says, clash with your desires. That same night you will see the ziyarah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if that doesn't happen, then complain to me. Today, make the niyyah, the intention, that alongside Ramadan, I want to become a muttaqi, a God-fearing person, and all my life long, what will I do with my desires, my ego? I will fight with my desires. I will not obey my desires. And the biggest thing where the desires will start from is our stomach, the root cause of all issues. This is not a new piece of news that I'm sharing with you. Allah Ta'ala told us this in the beginning, that the stomach, be careful about your stomach. Didn't we start from this with our lives? La takallafu, Allah says, hadha shajara. Who did Allah Ta'ala say this to? When the universe was made, when the earth was made, and planet earth was made, when Allah Ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam and sent him to paradise, Allah said, and beware. Don't go near to this plant, near to this tree. Allah didn't say, don't worship the idol, don't do this. What did Allah say? That be careful about your stomach, and don't go near to this tree. Do you understand my points? That's where we learn this lesson from. What do we need to be careful about? Adam, be careful about your stomach. Why was he told this? Because his children that will come, they will realize that the main action of a human being to become a muttaqi, God-fearing, your main action is that Adam alayhi salam also was spoiled. His affair was the stomach. And even for us today, the stomach will spoil all of our affairs in the life. So shaitan, he didn't say anything, don't worship the idol, don't do this, etc. He was the prophet. And what did he do? Shaitan, how did he inject Adam alayhi salam, influence him? That this tree is the best, go to it. So this is the clash of the desires. How does the nafs invite us? No, yaar, it's okay. Oh, I'll do everything after, I'll repent to Allah after. This isn't haram, we're living in the world, it's too hard in this country. Oh, we have to keep paying tax and we have to do this and that. Subhanallah, what a statement, sir. This is the person on the deen. Oh, it's too hard, our children, we have to follow the ways. If we don't do this wrong, how will I pay the rent? If I don't do a haram thing, let's claim from here, let's claim from here. Oh, it doesn't make any difference. Yes, I'm telling you the reasons. Oh, we just have to sign on the dotted line. We're not doing anything wrong. Don't take wrong what I'm saying. I'm not criticizing anyone. I'm just talking about myself. Yes, and we are running after Umrah and Hajj and pilgrimage and Ibadah and worship and being pious. Oh, why am I mad and why am I mentally ill? Why have I got depression? Why can't I sleep? Because you're not living your life in the right way. You're not on the right track. You're living alongside your desires, your nafs, your ego. How can you be comfortable? How will you get contentment and peace and satisfaction in life? There's no sickness that a person ever had. A sickness is a person gets sick because he's not living his life properly with Allah. He says, I'm living a good life, I pray Salah in congregation, I went in Jamaat 40 days, chilla. I went and did this, I'm pious, and I built a masjid, and I run the masjid, and I've built this for Allah, I've done this for Allah. But despite all this, have you looked after your stomach correctly? Subhanallah. Look, what food is going into your stomach? Yes, yes. That is there any fighting or quarreling or dispute you've done with your ego enough during the day? How much? Every sickness of the world. You know these four parts of our life are society life, family life, business life, work life. All of the issues come due to the stomach, due to the shahawat, due to the desires. Yes, from the stomach come the desires. And after desires, a human being does all of the wrong things. Yes, the shahwat, his lust, his passions, his desires make him fail in all things, in ibadat, in his personal affairs, is in buying and selling, in his business, in his work, in his relationships with people. Allah says, control your desires. وَجَهَدُوا فِينَا. You do the hard work. Allah says, then I'll open up the paths and the solutions for you. So do you understand my points of today, brothers? Am I saying anything wrong? Very simple lesson of Islam this is. So what is the fast taught us? That hunger and thirst you should do, but hunger and thirst after that, when you break the fast, then break it with the halal things, lawful things. If you're breaking fast with the halal, you become a muttaqi. If you break the fast with haram, then you are a waste, a useless, bone-eyed person. All you did through the fast was just dieting. So this is the lesson Allah has given to us. That you can stay hungry, stay thirsty due to the fast, but for which purpose? Don't consume haram. Don't drink haram. Rather, the halal ni'mas, eat halal as much as you want. Drink halal as much as you want. Allah Ta'ala doesn't stop you. It doesn't refrain you. Do you understand my point? Yes. So why do we keep in fast? Oh, I'm fasting so I can get close to Allah. Are you mad? Then keep on fasting, staying hungry and thirsty. Keep the fast. How are you keeping the fast? What are you eating? What will you eat after that? What food is going into your stomach? What desires are being developed and born? We don't know. Better is that human being. Whatever he's been given. Dal, lentils, dry bread, Allah gave him ni'mas. Pure halal food, despite being simple. He is not capable of doing big things, big worship. But what's he doing? He is that rightfully, correctly fasting person, millions of times better than that person who's drinking and eating as much as he wants, but in the wrong way. That individual who's drinking and eating halal, lawful, according to Allah's orders, instructions, he will rise up in the hereafter. This is that man or woman who always stayed hungry and thirsty. He's the fasting person. In other words, despite eating and drinking in the world, but his maqam, his title in the hereafter will be amongst the fasting people. If only, hopefully you've understood my point. Hopefully you've understood my point. Subhanallah. So we have to quarrel with and clash with the desires, then eat and drink. Yes? Allah Ta'ala, whoever gets Allah's nearness and qurb, Allah's promise, wajahadu, when you fight with your desires, then you'll get my nearness. Not one penny of haram will I take. Not a pound of haram will I take. I won't wear any clothes of haram. I won't eat anything haram. Wherever you've eaten haram, then lying will start. And what comes with lying? Hasad, envy. And then with envy comes what? Anger comes. Then with anger comes all of the spiritual diseases and illness. Because you ate one thing haram. With that haram, all of the other sins then come under that banner. Is this right or wrong what I'm saying? So everything you have to assist with the wrong. If you fight with the nafs, no, I won't do this wrong thing. Then all of the wrongs won't come near to you. They won't come near to you if you control your desires. So my brothers, follow the path of Allah's deen, the dhakireen, you my beloved brethren who are practicing Allah's deen, his path. Ramadan is a very valuable thing. We will continue talk, inshallah, in the days to come. So today, the lesson we've learnt is what? That the fountain, the foundation of lust and desires is what? The stomach. The stomach. That's what makes us not pray salah. The stomach makes us go towards haram. Everything is the stomach that creates the issues. Whoever controls his stomach, then alhamdulillah. Just I'll give the example where the example start. It starts from this, from Adam al-Islam. If he didn't go towards that tree, that plant that Allah Ta'ala told him to not go, then all of us today would be in paradise, wouldn't we? You don't understand what I'm saying? Just what did he do? That he followed what the nafs said at that time. And who invited him towards that? Who invited him towards that? Who? Shaitan. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said what? That if you want to control your desires and your ego, then how will you control it? Subhanallah. Through what? That don't obey Shaitan's influence and his advice. He will make you eat haram. Shaitan. That's why from the beginning that he understood your weak point. Make him pray salah, go on hajj, do worship. But let me advise him to keep on eating haram as well. Haram business, haram work, haram paths, haram earnings, haram means. He'll make mansions, palaces, but he's going to die and everything's going to be left here. He's not going to take anything. And keep giving him the good news. But ultimately Allah Ta'ala said, be careful. Don't obey shaitan, don't follow his advice. Don't follow his mashwara and his advice. Because the first advice shaitan will give to you and make you afraid of hunger and thirst. Then he did this with your father and he's doing the same with you. What did he say? That go to this tree, eat this plant, you'll be alive forever. Subhanallah, shaitan said this to Adam alayhi salam, didn't he? And today what does he say to us? Oh yaar, you'll enjoy life. It's fine, you'll advance, you'll progress, you'll get promotion. Do this wrong, shaitan advises us. Doesn't make any difference. Don't you understand this? He says to us. You don't understand this. So Allah says, let me explain to you via Ramadan that this is the advice of shaitan. Do you understand today the lesson? Yes. So let's pray to Allah. Allah allow us to, enable us to control our desires. And remember one thing, definitely my friends, don't give deception to yourself. Don't deceive yourself. This is the biggest point. That we can deceive the world, but first of all we are deceiving ourselves. I'm praying salah, I'm going to paradise. I'm doing good pious actions. Don't talk nonsense to yourself. I'm pious, I'm worshipping, I'm this. Then we blame other people, mashaykh, our teachers. I go to, I do dhikr, I remember Allah, I'm not earning anything, I'm not feeling anything. And this is a false claim. These lessons will come, whatever comes to my mind, these topics I'll share with you during this month. Yes, whether you like or not, but inshallah, you will become the human being if you listen carefully to what I'm saying, you'll become a human being during this month. After 1 year, we meet like this regularly, inshallah, in Ramadan. Every day, this time, alhamdulillah, this work that Allah Ta'ala has given to me, this task, such great improvement in Ramadan as human beings, women and men, brothers and sisters. We got that phone system, mashallah, alhamdulillah, I don't even know that in the morning, when's the morning, evening, night, but we've got the system running. We've got from here, from America, other parts of the world, people are listening, taking part. Mashallah, they're understanding in such a great way. So when I explain to them about Ramadan, immediately they submit. Amun billahi, we've understood the purpose now. After today, we're not going to do this wrong thing anymore. That's the feedback. So do you understand what I'm saying today? Yes. So this is deen. Don't deceive yourself. I'm prostrating, praying, I pray tahajjud, I worship. Just say to yourself quietly, just say to yourself, that what's your relationship with your stomach? Say this to yourself, that if my stomach is spoiled, then you are lost in your desires. If your stomach's not correct, you're swimming in the desires. Where you work should be halal. Your business should be halal. Anywhere you are, whatever you're doing, the business you are running should be halal, your earnings should be halal, whatever you're doing in your life, for the stomach, focus on the stomach. Always, one wrong thing goes in the stomach, the storm will brew. Suddenly it comes, the storm. You know, the nafs, it becomes awake. Mulana Rumi rahmatullah alayhi gave a great example. He said there was a man, and he was walking along the way, he saw a piece of wood. You know, you see like the wood, dry wood. Mulana Rum Rahmatullah, great sheikh he was. He said that he was gathering the wood and he saw that when he got the wood, he saw a good piece of wood, the one that he liked, and he saw inside there was a snake, big snake, and it was hidden there. And the people from the wilderness, the desert area, he just sort of, it moved it. He said, it's dead, the snake, there's nothing inside it. And he took the wood home. Yeah? And he took it, picked up all the pieces of wood, he took them home. In the night time, he put the wood to the side. He said, the snake is dead. I'll just pick it up in the morning and throw it away. There's nothing there. It was a serpent, a big serpent, like a python. As soon as he, Mulana Rum that gave a beautiful point from this story. He said, as soon as the morning came, slowly the sun rose and the heat came. Then the snake, when it felt the heat and it woke up, the snake, because in the cold it shrivels up. And when the sun rose and the heat came, the snake woke up. When it woke up, it became into its full being and the life came into it, the energy. And the man who brought it back, he thought it was dead. And when it went near to him, it bit that man. Subhanallah, and it killed him. So he stated, remember this, that your nafs, your desires is just like that snake. Don't think your nafs have been killed, your desires. Don't think you've crushed your desire. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't think your desires are asleep. Don't be satisfied that your desires are asleep. They will deceive you in your life, your desires, your nafs. It will make you pray salah, go on hajj and do worship. Focus, focus. Keep focused on your desires. Abul Hasan Razi, this is why I give the example. The father said, I wasn't careful in my life. I wasn't careful. He was explaining to his son. He said that the desires can never be killed off. It tricks you. It tricks you. Soon as the heat comes to the desires, then it becomes alive. Then it bites you. It bites you. It takes you towards the wrong. Allahu Akbar. Okay? So we'll cry, what can we do? How can we earn halal? And then what we will eat? And people run back to me. They say, Hazrat Shaykh, what should we do? My rizq is haram. I said, leave the haram. What else? There's no other solution. You have to leave the haram. People look for other ways out. Oh, my work is wrong. I said, oh, if it's haram, your job, you have to leave it. What can you do? But my business is dirty, is impure. Then leave that business. One person came to me to do tawbah, to repent. He said, I work hard and I strive. There's no business like mine for my children. I earn lots of money and this is my rizq and this. I said, what is it? I said, what do you do? What's your business? He said, I run a shop morning till evening. I work hard. My wife, she works. My children work as well. I said, is it? I said, oh, you're a good man. I said, what do you sell? He said, just alcohol. I said, alcohol, sharab. Allah. I said, so these, the nafs, the desires. What was he saying? No, I've just done hajj. I'm ready for umrah. My family's going with me. We booked the tickets, the plane. We're going to do this. I said, I just looked down. I said, this is a game. MashaAllah, you're a muttaki. And what's your situation? He said, my business. What do I sell? What can I do? My business. I can't run my shop until I don't put the alcohol there. The customers don't come. I said, why do you do this? He says, customers don't come to my shop if I don't sell alcohol. My business is flourishing on alcohol. How can I improve it? How can I make it better? I said, with love to him, with affection, I said, when you extract, eliminate the alcohol from your business, then come back to me. Until today, you haven't come to me yet. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying. I said, you need to remove this from there. Always shaitan will be proud and make you... He said to Adam alayhi salam, you'll stay alive forever. Eat this plant from this tree. He invited him. So this is what shaitan does with us. So brothers, if you want to be a muttaqi, God-fearing person, then what type of fast are we keeping? What type of fast? We're keeping fast just to make the stomach practice. Remember this. That what is the real practice? The stomach, always keep it hungry. Always keep it thirsty from what? From haram. That's the lesson of fasting. Keep feeding your stomach halal, halal. But whenever anything is doubtful also, mutashabbah, that there's a doubt, I'm not sure, maybe there's a lie here, there's something wrong here, avoid it. As long as there's that you know you're working, and if you are not working the full hours, and you should work 7 hours, your employer said, and in those 7 hours, even if 5 minutes you are not working, even if 10 minutes of your boss you are spending doing something else, that is haram, unlawful. And yes, look how big is that piece of wheat that he ate. Just one seed from the wheat, from the corn. What was the conclusion? From Jannah, yes, to the dunya. from paradise to the world. This is the lesson we've given. Do you understand what I'm saying? So disobedience isn't that there's a physical conclusion that order of Allah Ta'ala has come. If Allah Ta'ala orders, there's such a big instruction, if we leave it and we say, no, we're just leaving the sin. Whatever Allah Ta'ala says, that leave that, that is the biggest sin if you go against that. That is the biggest sin. Whatever is fard, compulsory, end of story. Have to do it. There's no other solution. Must implement it. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went, he came out, he read the Taraweeh, 3 days, people assembled, then he went back in. And with anger he said, then he didn't come out. He said, if I came out again, that this would become fard on you, compulsory on you, subhanAllah. When Allah's order comes for something, that he prohibits something or says do something, then you cannot compete with it after that. You cannot make any excuses after that. There's no answer, no excuse. There's no second, there's no right, left solution, just the straight path. May Allah Ta'ala give us the right, may Allah make us muttaqis during this Ramadan. As we are listening, then apply this in your lives. Don't deceive yourself. I'm this, I'm pious, I'm righteous. Totally not at all. Look at your stomach. Recite the Rusul.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المذنبين وتوابع ياسين الحبيب الأمين يا الله بفضل برمائل 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 صغيرة كبيرة تمام برمائل برمائل ہم سب کی بخشش برمائل يا الله ہماری عبادات کو قبول برمائل ہماری دعا کو قبول برمائل يا الله ہمیں رزق حلال نصیب برمائل يا الله ہمیں تقوى نصیب برمائل يا الله تقوى محنت نصیب برمائل يا الله نفس الشیطان سے بچا میرے مولا یا اللہ نفس و شیطان سے بچنے کے جو طریقے تو نے بتائے وہ ہمیں اختیار کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے ہمارے تمام رشتہ داروں کو بخش دے تمام امت کو بخش دے صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد و علیہ وصحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ